Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Acts. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, and waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire,
mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised it,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be. Reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throng saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Word of God, word of life. Holy Gospel according to John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm going to start with some questions. I guess this is called audience participation. So when I ask the question, if you fit into that category, raise your hand nice and high so that others can see kind of how many people are in this group. How many of you were born and raised in San Diego? How many of you are from the Midwest? Okay. How many are Padres fans? Okay, how many are fans of the other guys? Ah, some brave people. How many of you are lifelong Lutherans? How many of you came from another faith tradition? How many of you came from no faith tradition before you were an adult? How long have you been coming to St. Peter's? How many have come longer than 10 years? And how many have been coming less than 10 years? How many of you are members of a church congregation? How many of you sit on the same side of the church every Sunday? Some were different because someone else was in your place today. A few of those. How many of you love the organ and the traditional hymns? How many of you love the piano and the more contemporary hymns? So you can vote on both. So we come here today with a lot of differences. We have a lot of differences. It's easy to separate us. When I play this kind of this sort of game sometimes with the confirmation kids, I have them go from side to side of the room. And it's easy to divide ourselves into we's and they's, into us's and them's, into the insiders and the outsiders. We have a line. We draw a line between, a border. And that is a border that we will not cross. So down came the sheet with the reptiles and vultures and other unappetizing animals on it. In fact, this sheet was lowered to Peter's vision three times. And each time Peter was invited to eat from this picnic blanket, Peter says, "No, not me." His response to God and to that invitation was not just squeamishness. Like I know some people who go, "Ooh, oysters? You know, never." It wasn't that kind of squeamishness. Paul found the whole menu, Peter found the whole menu repulsing.
He just could not imagine. There was nothing on that sheet from heaven that was acceptable food. Peter's no came from deep inside. He was an observant Jew. He had spent his lifetime trying to remain ritually clean. His no to God's invitation was the result of years of religious training and conditioning. It came from the core of who he was. Last week I was in Texas for my annual retreat with three of my seminary friends. We went to Texas because Sue had recently moved there to take a new call in the bishop's office. She and her husband are adjusting quite well to the move from South Carolina to Texas, a lot better than their dog, Kara. Their house is built on the edge of a small development that's on the edge of town, and there's a strip mall in the back of their yard. There's an alley and then a strip mall. And in the front, it's all wooded, a beautiful wooded area. Both of these places, front yard, backyard, dangerous places for a dog to run. And Kara loves to run. So Jack and Sue put up one of those invisible fences to keep Kara in the yard and out of danger from the woods and from the traffic in the parking lot. Kara's a smart dog, and she learned quickly how that invisible fence works. There's a wire that's buried in the ground on the border, on that boundary line, and the dog collar makes a sound whenever that boundary line is approached. Kara learned pretty quickly that where that boundary line was. First, she had the visual clue because it was right on the edge of the grass. So all the grass around, she knows not to step over that grass. And then she learned that that sound meant stay back. And then, of course, she could also count on that slightly unpleasant tingling sensation from the collar if she actually did cross over that boundary. So with practice and with conditioning, Kara learned to stay in the yard. Crossing that invisible fence was repulsive to Kara. You can't make her go across that fence. That in the passage from the Acts of the Apostles, that picnic blanket from heaven carried with it God's unimaginable generosity to all people. God was rubbing out that invisible fence, rubbing out that boundary line that separated Jew and Gentile, a boundary that God felt was unnecessary. God made clean what was unclean. The thought of crossing that boundary and being unclean was repulsive to Peter, just as crossing the boundary of the yard is repulsive to Sue's dog, Kara. Tradition and laws around ritual cleanliness made table fellowship with the Gentiles taboo, strictly taboo. If they're unclean, if I sit with them, then I'm unclean too. For Peter, Gentiles were as unclean as that strange food in that dream. Peter refused God's invitation to get up and eat. Three times he refused that. This was a boundary line, an invisible fence that was not easily crossed. Aren't we all bounded by invisible fences? By boundaries that we will not cross. I know I am. And it seems that God takes great delight in stretching me to those boundary places, in pushing me to cross boundary lines that I've drawn, invisible fences that I've refused to cross. I remember 10 years ago coming to Ocean Beach for the first time. Don and I stayed in the inn across the street, and we decided to take a walk to look at the neighborhood and see what kind of area St. Peter's was in. We got here Friday night. I hadn't yet met anybody from the church. And so we stayed there, and we decided on Friday evening, about 7:30, 8:30, we'd take a walk down Newport and see what the people of St. Peter's would be like. Now remember, we were coming from Charleston, South Carolina, a congregation. We were serving a church, St. John's, in downtown Charleston, one of the oldest churches in the country. This church was conservative, as the country, as the area is. In fact, the ushers had to wear jackets on Sunday morning, jackets and ties, in order to usher. So during that Friday night walk in the dark, I was kind of unsure how I was going to fit in here. I was pretty sure I would not be able to find a store that sold church goods or pantyhose. And how am I going to be a pastor here? I was unsure if I could cross the boundaries of what I thought was acceptable dress, of what I thought was a reasonable number of body piercings. I didn't know for sure if I could serve a congregation where I thought I might be the only person without a tattoo in a very visible spot. So there it was, God's holy blanket spread out before me, a sheet that erases boundaries, an invitation to dine at God's table with generous inclusivity. A sheet like God presented to Peter. And here this sheet was lowered to me on Newport Avenue. There I met my invisible fence. I found myself a little bit scared, unable to see beyond the outer image that these were God's sons and daughters. God certainly couldn't be calling me to come and serve in a place like this. God invited me through my husband's words, look closer, look closer. And I did look closer. OB and the folks that I saw there really weren't all that different from me. I seek a deeper relationship with God. These folks definitely are seekers. I want to be in service to those in need. There are a lot of people who want to be in service to those in need, and many people who can benefit from such charity. I love my family and friends, the people in OB on the street that night on Newport Avenue, love their family and friends. We both enjoy the beauty of God's creation, and we want to care for it. Past those first impressions, I did feel God calling me to be here. So thanks be to God for OB and its quirkiness. Thanks be to God for all of you, wonderful people of St. Peter's, who encouraged me to cross that invisible fence, to accept the invitation, to participate in the breath of God's welcome for all. In these past 10 years, we have stretched one another. We have encouraged one another to go beyond our comfort zones, beyond our invisible fences, to do what Jesus has called us to do, to love one another. Jesus calls us to cross those boundaries, to step across that invisible fence that would wall us off from others, from those in that other political party, from those in that other denomination, or that other faith tradition, that other ethnicity that other social class, that other economic class, that other fashion sense or nonsense, that other sexual preference, that other alternate lifestyle. Jesus calls us to cross the invisible fences that separate us from family and friends, from those who have hurt us and from those we have hurt. Jesus calls us to cross those boundaries that we might see and love others as God sees and loves them. There aren't us's and them's. There aren't we's and they's. There's not insiders and outsiders. There's only one line, and it's not a boundary line. That line is a circle. It's God's circle that takes us all in. Let us pray. Oh God, help us cross the boundaries that separate us from each other. Open our eyes that we might see you in every person. Stretch us, push us, give us courage and hope, and teach us to love as you love. Amen.